The following podcast is a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net. The following Spectrum One podcast may contain language that some may find offensive. Listener discretion is advised. And now, WrestleChat.net, the freaking awesome network, and Spectrum One present...
Cut the music! Jim Williams here. I know this is the first show in our 10th season on the internet, and normally when you hear the open to this show, you hear something light, something funny, something whimsical, but I can't do it this week. Matter of fact, I have something to get off my chest, and something pretty serious, might I add. And it really doesn't even have to do a whole heck of a lot with wrestling. Maybe tangentially it does. It deals more with mixed martial arts, a maniacal owner, or head, shall we say, of a company in MMA, and censorship of the press for no good reason at all. Now, before I continue, the views expressed by yours truly are merely mine. They don't reflect the thoughts of the good people at the Freaking Awesome Network, our friends at WrestleChat.net, or any of my compadres here at Spectrum One. So, last weekend, UFC 199 happened, and during that event, a promo aired. And at the very end of the promo, you saw one man's face. That of a one Brock Lesnar, which more or less told us Lesnar was going to fight at UFC 200. More on if he actually will be able to later on in the show. Back to the story. Now, shortly before the promo aired on the pay-per-view, acclaimed MMA journalist and former UFC on Fox reporter Ariel Helwani of MMAfighting.com tweeted that according to sources, reliable sources close to him, Brock Lesnar was indeed confirmed to be on the UFC 200 card. Now, yours truly, I call that good journalism. You're pulling your resources together, you get the big news out to the masses, and hey, you beat the man to the punch. By the way, getting the news out to the masses, many of whom are smart enough to not blow $60 on a UFC pay-per-view in the first place, thank you very much. Dana White, however, and UFC's ownership, they called that news bullshit. Bullshit of the highest degree, in fact. And before the main event of the evening, they took Ariel aside, stripped him of his credentials for UFC 199, and asked him and two of his colleagues to leave the premises immediately. Oh, one other thing they did to all three of those individuals. They banned them from getting credentials for any future UFC event. Let me put this in a sports perspective, okay? When Jay Glazer or Adam Schefter break news that may not sit well with the NFL higher-ups, do they get banned? No. When Ken Rosenthal or John Heyman break news that may not sit well with Major League Baseball's higher-ups, do they get banned? No. Here, in this instance, an MMA journalist, arguably the best in the business at what he does, the awards speak for themselves if you look it up. He gets banned for beating UFC to the punch. Hell, if anything, the news he broke is free publicity for UFC. And if anything, Dana White should be grateful that more folks got the news than those in the arena and on the pay-per-view audience. Now, the backlash to this, to put it mildly, was substantial. And the whole thing went mainstream rather quickly. Helwani got interviews with Dan Patrick and Rich Eisen, among others. Even Deadspin, which has long thought of Helwani as a UFC shill, they supported his cause. But UFC didn't back down. In fact, Dana White, when confronted by TMZ Monday, said that as long as he was the linchpin, or should I say pinhead, of UFC, long as he was in power, Helwani would never, ever get credentials. So explain to me how hours later, literally hours after Dana White made those comments to TMZ, explain to me how UFC then relented and gave Helwani and his two colleagues, who got that treatment, explain to me how they got their right to get credentials back again. Now, was it pressure from the masses? Was it pressure from sponsorship? Maybe pressure from fellow members of the media. Now, in a perfect world, those would all be viable reasons and options. But as far as I see it, Dana White and company did this for one reason, and one reason only. Cheap publicity. UFC 200 isn't that great a card, folks. Remember when UFC 200 was supposed to be the Diaz-McGregor rematch? Once upon a time, maybe have Ronda Rousey in a big match, or... Now it's Brock Lesnar facing an unnamed opponent. Or will he? More on that again, later in the show. And that's really about it. Dana White needs to get his name out and UFC's name out any way he can, because as the old saying goes, any publicity is good publicity, right? Well, guess what? This bad publicity may very well be your undoing, Dana, and UFC's. For years, you, sir, have had a communist dictator-esque vice grip on the press that covers your events. Take Helwani in the past, for years on end, and Helwani said it himself on the Dan Patrick Show. Despite doing all he could do to toe the line between objective journalism and making Dana happy while under his pay, Dana White insisted he be removed from Fox's UFC coverage over the last year. So now Ariel and the MMAfighting.com folks have the right to get credentials for UFC 200. But you know what? With the right to have credentials also comes the right of first refusal. If I were Helwani, I'd never step foot inside a UFC-sanctioned press conference or venue again, as a means of saying that I wouldn't stand for being disrespected or maligned. Okay, there's downsides to that. He won't be able to get those post-fight interviews, which he's damn good at getting. But every other feasible facet of what he does, he could do. I mean, he's got contacts galore. He doesn't have to be on site, and he said it himself. He doesn't have to be on site to do the job he does. Furthermore, there's something you can do. So, to all of you who listen to this podcast and frequent the fan boards, frequent WrestleChat, here's something I want you to consider. The real way to make your voice heard about how ridiculous that farcical ban was, there's only one thing you can do. Just don't support UFC. Don't buy UFC 200, or UFC 201, or UFC 202, or 203, or 204, any of them. Don't go to UFC events. Don't give them a dollar of your money, or a minute of your TV time. Hit them where it hurts the most, in the wallet. And as for you, Dana White, you seem to find a way to keep topping yourself when it comes to imbecilic, asinine actions or words. You think you're a big shot, the man who catapulted UFC to major sports status. Listen, pal, as much as I don't like this guy, I'm gonna say it. You couldn't hold Roger Goodell's ballpoint pen, Buster. Hell, you couldn't even hold Gary Bettman's. While you have certainly carved out a niche, you're not as mainstream as a big four sport. And that fact was proven this past weekend when you and your cronies censored and banned the MMAfighting.com crew, who not only were trying to do their jobs, but, wait for it, promote your next big event at no charge. Here's hoping your time as UFC's big shot, Dana, goes down faster than each of the drug-taking stars you created. And now, without any further ado, thank you for listening, and on with the NAWC.
Wow. Yeah. That's a way to start season 10. My name is Jason Block. This is the Freakin' Awesome Network, Spectrum One, and WrestleChats.net, North American Wrestling Connection. Jim, are you still there?
Hi.
Wow.
I've never been better.
No, you haven't. That was insane. You weren't wrong, but I will also respectfully disagree that you're saying that the card is not great. It wasn't what we wanted it to be.
Yeah, everything that was hyped even two or three months ago, it is a far cry from. Yeah, there are some quality fights. I don't question that. But they wanted this to be the biggest card in the history of the company, and it's far from it.
Yes and no. Like I said, I will respectfully disagree. By the way, Nikki Haymon is, you know, returning from her negotiations with Uncle Paul and Brock. She will be back on She will be joining us momentarily.
Yeah, she is caught in transit, as they say.
Yes. And what happens is that let us go back. And let us go back to what we talked about on the special edition of the show last week when this story broke.
Yes.
Okay. The key to this is the fact that, and this is the big story here that we're starting with, going to by the opening you said, Brock Lesnar, with WWE's permission, is fighting in the UFC about a month from today, actually, yep. as we record this, July 9th, and he's fighting a Samoan guy named Mark Hunt, who is a very big guy. Okay, the announcement was made this past Monday on ESPN and on the Heyman Hustle with some guy named Paul Heyman. You might have heard of him.
Heard of him. He talks a good game.
Right, in two separate interviews. Now, have you seen any of the interviews with Lesnar and UFC?
I have not. I've heard some stuff about the one with ESPN and Hannah Storm, going back to my rant there, or my tirade, if you will. And, you know, he was actually pressed about the Helwani thing. He's like, I don't even know who he is.
Well, he does. Because Helwani, if you remember, the reason why Helwani got famous, if you remember correctly.
Right.
Was when Helwani was interviewing some guy named Mark Calloway.
I've heard of him. He's a dead man, isn't he?
Yeah. He was not The Undertaker. He was interviewing Mark Calloway.
Yeah, three words help make Ariel a name. You want to go?
You want to go, okay. This was during Lesnar, when Lesnar got his ass beat by some guy named Cain Velasquez, okay. And when an Undertaker and Lesnar had legit beef back then, which I believe has been settled either monetarily or otherwise.
Right.
Okay. But at that time, beef had not been settled.
Beef was what was for dinner, as it were.
Yes. And you saw, and Helwani was interviewed, and Lesnar and Calloway, because I'm calling him Calloway at that point. He's the Undertaker for those who, you know, don't know who he is. The one or two people who are not listening, who just have come into this. And they stared legit daggers at each other. Mm-hmm. And Helwani asked, what was that? He goes, I don't know.
So
what happened was is that Brock Lesnar has basically stated in multiple interviews this week that he wasn't healthy even when he went into the octagon the first time back at UFC 100, and that he says that he fought the battle with diverticulitis and quote unquote lost. He says he is healthy, he is hungry, and wants to go out on top and on his terms.
But
yes, there's a very interesting but that happened today, and I'm shocked that this actually happened. Tell us about it, Mr. Williams.
Well, I certainly will. I've talked more about MMA on this show than I have in the previous nine seasons of the show, but it has a lot of bearing on what he might do August 21, because keep in mind, you didn't mention this, WWE put out the full presser about this, not just saying he was going to fight in UFC 200, but he will be at SummerSlam in August in Brooklyn. But
in my hometown, yes.
So you're going to see your boy, Bork Laser. Very exciting. Well, with the fact that he, on literally 5 weeks' notice, is going to fight, he was going to forego, they were going to initially, I believe, forego drug testing. Except for the fact that there are blind drug tests that happen every so often. And guess who's going to get a sample done? And guess who got a sample? That's right. It's your boy, Brock Lesnar. Now, earlier this week, he received a USADA drug test exemption for his return. But the US Anti-Doping Association did test Lesnar when he became eligible. This is according to Kevin Ayol of Yahoo. And again, we get this also from our friends at WrestleChat.net. Lesnar was tested by the USADA on Wednesday. The results should be available on their website next week. Now, this comes on the heels of Lesnar's opponent, Mark Hunt, as you mentioned, saying that Lesnar was, quote, juiced to the gills, end quote, in a recent interview. Now, if Brock fails, he's banned potentially for 2 years from MMA. But let's talk about also the wrestling aspect of this. Let's say he fails this test. If you're Vince McMahon, if you're the higher-ups in Titan Tower,
yeah,
given everything that you're doing with drug testing and everything, and, you know, going back to, you know, all the binds you had to tie to get Bruno Sammartino in the Hall of Fame and back in the circle, you've got to do something. You can't legitimately have Lesnar fight at SummerSlam if he fails, right?
Of course. But the deal is that, in my personal opinion, I don't think he will fail.
Okay.
We'll ask Nikki about this.
Right.
Because, you know, because in speaking with her, and she'll clarify this, she thinks that he will do it right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And put it to you this way. Do you really think Brock would get in the ring knowing the drug testing rules and thinking he would fail? Do you really think he would be that stupid? Honestly speaking, come on.
What's his track record? And I'm not being facetious. I want to ask backstory. Has he ever been dinged?
I don't think he has. But the question is that but remember, he's been back in the WWE since 2012. Okay.
Right. As a seasonal attraction.
Yes, but do you think he was exempt from the wellness test? Are you going to be playing the cynical game and saying
I don't think he was exempt. I think he might have gotten a courtesy or two, given that he wasn't a full-time employee, and he was essentially a seasonally contracted employee.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. All I have to say is this. It will be interesting for UFC and WWE what happens next week when the information appears. Because if he, and look, I hope he doesn't fail. I don't. I honestly hope he doesn't fail the test. I hope everything comes up clean so that Dana can have his fun and Vince can have his fun.
Right.
But the what if is pretty compelling stuff.
The what if is compelling stuff, because I'm going to play the what if with you, and we will, you know, when Nikki gets back.
Right.
If Lesnar fails, which I don't think he will, but let's just say he does.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say for the WWE? That would be a huge black eye on the WWE wellness policy, wouldn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Well, let me take that back. For those who are casual fans, it would be. For those of us who know better, it would be a slap in the face as opposed to a kick in the nuts. Again, I really think there is a possibility that people who are not on the road 300 days a year. Well, I mean, it's a given fact. People who are only there like Legends deals, if you will. Are they tested? No. Legends aren't tested.
Well, really? So are you claiming in Europe? But again, this is your
not to the same standard. Not to the same standard as those who are there 52 weeks a year. I can't think that in good conscience, that would be saying, Jason, they get tested when they're not working. And I don't think that happens.
But, well, I mean, so what you are claiming, and again, this is
just one man's opinion. This is not fact or gospel, folks.
Okay, so you're saying people like Chris Jericho don't get tested. You're saying that Brock Lesnar do not get tested.
It's possible. It's possible.
I would say no, and I will tell you why. Again, here's the difference here. I believe that we have a potential for that. That would be a public relations screw up of epic order.
Oh, I agree.
Okay, because remember, we have actually had suspensions, including people like Adam Rose, who else was dinged recently?
There have been a couple of people.
And those were people who were way low on the totem pole.
But they were there week in, week out. They may have been doing dark matches and hell shows, but they were there week in and week out.
Mm-hmm.
It's foolhardy for me to believe they're going to have the same exact stringent testing for part-timers as they do full-timers. That's all I'm saying. Do they get tested? I'm sure they all do. That's what if you can kind of weed between what I'm trying to say here. I'm not trying to, you know, double down and confuse. Does everybody get tested? I'm sure everybody does. But are part-timers held to the same standard as full-timers? I'm not so sure. I'm not 100% sure. That's all.
All right. Moving on. Yeah, moving on into a second part of this. Let's the second and then the third part. The second part is, again, what we talked about is the WWE's involvement in all this. Wow. Lesnar claimed on ESPN that he beat Vince McMahon at arm wrestling to get permission to go to UFC. I don't think it was that, to be honest. I mean,
that would be worth watching on YouTube. I'd pay $9.99 to see that.
Exactly. But how do you think this went down? Do you think this probably happened a couple of months ago, I'm guessing.
I think it could have happened as recently as about 3-4 weeks ago. Again, going back to something I said, the card, yeah, while they were able to fill out some of the card, they couldn't get, there wasn't a big name. I mean, Misha Tate's, she's mid-card, upper mid-card. And I know she's fighting with, she's the Bantamweight Women's Bantamweight Champion. She's fighting a championship fight then. But there was no big name, big draw to hook in the casual fans. So I'm sure Dana made a call to Vince. Here's the deal. You let me use Brock and say maybe around April next year we'll let you have Ronda for a fight. Fair deal? I think something like that could have went down.
Could be. But even so, it's going to be very interesting. But
let me ask you a question, if I may.
Sure.
And I mentioned this on my Facebook wall, facebook.com/Jim Williams on the air if you're scoring at home, kids. Does this blur the line between mixed martial arts and wrestling? Because, of course, there's always been that hard, steady line between, well, we know everything in wrestling is predetermined. We know that everything we think, as far as we know, everything in MMA isn't predetermined. It's legitimate guys just wailing away on each other. Does this move blur the line of, I guess the word I'm looking for is legitimacy with Dana White's organization?
Yeah,
oh,
you
bet
your... Okay, as Nikki Haymon has said, it's a different kind of work. Mm-hmm. Okay, because with the WWE and TNA, and by the way, good luck on your pay-per-view this weekend, just saying. See, contractual obligation.
There you go, you got it in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on, I'm just texting with our good friend Nikki.
Nikki is on the road.
She is on the road.
Using the Spectrum One mobile force, as we would say if we were around.
Yes, exactly. You know, good luck on your pay-per-view. With the WWE, you know what you're getting for your $9.99 or $54.99 if you pay for it, mm-hmm. or by any means necessary. With the UFC, you don't. Mm-hmm. And again, it's called a different kind of work. Okay. Mm-hmm. As you know, so does this blur the line? You bet your ass it does. You bet your ass it does.
Yeah.
To me, this actually makes WWE look stronger and the UFC look a little weaker to me.
I agree.
I'm not saying by much.
No, I agree. I mean, you're reaching out to sports entertainment to draw for your, and I put in air quotes, sport.
Right, because honestly speaking, when you said your drug taking stars, how many different stars over the past year have been dinged for drugs and steroids?
If you go back to the last 2 or 3 years, it's over half a dozen, probably closer to 10 or 12. Mm-hmm. There have been so, and we're talking top names, Chael Sonnen, who's not even in the business anymore, practically.
Just a second. Can you get Nikki on her mobile force phone, please?
Oh, I can do that. I believe I can. I'm going to need a little dialing music. Everybody do the man.
And you can get her on that particular number.
Yes, I've got the number coming right now, ladies and gentlemen. This is, you know what, we're keeping this in because this is a peek behind the scenes. Kevin Dunn, you don't do this, do you, you son of a... Anyway.
Breaking Ground Reloaded, also face. Pretty good.
Anyway, oh, that's we'll true. Do. That's true. Okay, we're getting Nikki on the horn here.
Yes.
Because we have to talk about this with her, because it is about Brock. So, Nikki?
Hello.
Hello, Nikki Heyman, hostess with the mostest. It's Jim, it's Jason, it's your show, darn it.
I know, but you know how busy I've been the last week or so, and this just doesn't stop.
No, it doesn't, and we've actually been talking about some of this busyness involving your dear Uncle Paul and Brock Lesnar. I had a rant at the top of the show talking about how UFC, how can I put this, dicked around Ariel Helwani for cheap publicity, and we talked about how Brock's part of things for UFC 200, and how he may not make it to UFC 200 pending a drug test, results of which will be coming out next week. Your thoughts on the whole matter?
Well, you got to remember, Lesnar is from a culture where he's had to pee in a cup since he was probably 15.
Yeah, true.
Now, mind you, he probably hasn't had to do that since he left the Vikings. I don't know how strict UFC's drug testing policy was during Brock's tenure. So I think he's going to be clean. Plus, I don't know what PEDs do to a diverticulitis wrecked digestive system.
Another thing, and Jason, I think you want to bring this up. The last thing we were talking about the legitimacy now UFC may have lost or gained, or WWE may have gained, if you will.
Yeah, what we were asking was that the fact that they had to beg Brock Lesnar and WWE to get this, to get him, how much does it blur the lines between WWE and UFC? And I remember you saying UFC was just what you call a different kind of work.
Well, it is. I've had conversations with workers, with wrestlers, who have said that UFC is just as much of a work as wrestling. They just present, it's just a whole different presentation. If these guys were really going completely balled out, there'd be people in the hospital after every event and would only be working once or twice a year, which is, you know, the boxing model, which seems to work for, you know, which worked for so long, but with UFC, you know, if you don't have all your names, you don't get a lot of buys because people aren't going to be there for the undercard. They want to see, you know, they want to see John Bones Jones. They want to see, you know, Frank Mir. They want to see Brock Lesnar. They want to see, you know,
people of that ilk.
In that general department, I find it even funnier that we've got all this talk with Vince and Dana, getting in bed together. As I've asked, you know, as I've we've joked in the past, we need to just shut up and fuck, as they did. So I have a separate question to all of this.
Mm-hmm.
Where does this leave Phil Brooks?
Oh, yes.
Well, it's funny you mention that because he has a fight now lined up, if I'm not mistaken.
For 200?
202, I believe he's going to fight at.
Oh, I'll believe that when we get there. I want to actually see him get on the 200 card. I dare him.
No, he won't. He won't get on 200. And honest to goodness, if you were going to give me a chance to bet over or under two fights for CM Punk on UFC cards, I would take the under. I think he's either one and done or he never gets in. Because for goodness sakes, he has trained for 2 years. Over 2 years now, I think. And from all accounts, he's lost a heck of a lot more of those practice matches than he's won. Now, I know wins and losses don't matter in practice matches. It's about getting skill set down. But if after 16, 17 fights, you can't get the skill set down, there's a problem.
Exactly. And this is a guy who, you know, who actually has some martial arts training on top of his wrestling training, which means he should be winning practice matches. So, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on, but I think he needs to figure out some way to be able to take care of his wife and now his kid.
Wait, what?
He's got a kid. Or yep, he's just holding somebody's baby.
No, he doesn't have a kid.
AJ is not a MILF yet.
Okay. Yet.
Give it time. But it was Big Papa Punk is your hookup. Holler if you hear him. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Big Papa Punk. We had that picture floated around on the boards. I thought that was his kid. My bad.
Wasn't sure myself. So
Now, Nikki, I want to ask you this question here. The big reason why Jim did this open this week was the treating of Ariel Helwani. How much of a dick move was that, and how much does that hurt the UFC's image, and how long will that last?
Okay, run that by me one more time.
Yeah, what I ended up doing is I pretty much took 7 or 8 minutes. It's the longest intro in the history of this show, Nikki, where I ranted against Dana White and what he did over the weekend at UFC 199 to Ariel Helwani and his crew from MMAfighting.com, revoking their credentials, forcing them out of the building, and banning them for all future UFC events. Only 48 hours later, even after saying, as long as I'm around, he's not going to be here, 48 hours later, they say, up all's forgiven. Come on back in. Your thoughts on that and just what it does to UFC's credibility, if it's going to be short-term damage, long-term damage, what?
I wonder if Vince's ego and senility is transferable through the air. this is something I would expect from Vince. You know, Dana White, I would think if he's going to kick somebody out, he's going to kick them out. They're going to stay kicked out.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to a point, I understood why Dana White was mad, because news was broken that I'm sure he would have rather broken himself. But, dude, modern media, if they've got a story, they're going to run with it, and you better run a little bit faster or not tell anybody when you're ready to break some news.
Well, exactly.
So, bad.
Yeah, I mean, I don't fault Ariel and his crew for doing their job. It comes down to UFC and their people, Dana especially, for letting the news get to one or two too many people that it should have. It should have been, you know, locked down secret, and I'm sure heads are rolling elsewhere within the company because of it.
Right. Telephone, tell the net, tell a wrestler. It's going to get out. You
got
to be careful who you tell it to.
Yep. And of course, that also came with the sad news that Kimbo Slice, another MMA fighter, passed away this weekend at the age of 42.
Oh, yeah.
And
that, God, that was out of nowhere.
Right.
Sort of. Because the last fight he fought, if I'm not mistaken, Jason and Nikki, was for Bellator. And it was a fight that was universally shat upon by everybody because it was, wait for it, two out-of-shape guys who just really were looking for a paycheck.
But here's the sad part about this, actually. Mm-hmm. And I'm reading this from ESPN. He was diagnosed with heart failure. Oh. And according to the South Florida Sun Sentinel, he was informed he needed a heart transplant. Actually,
oh my God.
He was in the hospital on June 3rd complaining of severe abdominal pain, shortness of breath, and nausea. He was placed on a ventilator and was scheduled to plan to be transported to Cleveland, where he was placed on a donor's list. Mm-hmm. Trauma and foul play are not suspected. And he was supposed to fight James Thompson at Bellator 158 on July 16th, but he had to withdraw. He had high blood pressure, had something to do with his gallbladder, and Slice also tested positive for anabolic steroids and an elevated testosterone ratio.
Hmm.
So he was pretty much screwed from Jump Street.
Yeah.
you know, and, you know, he was one of those underground guys who I don't remember if the WWE wanted to take a look at him for a moment.
I wouldn't be surprised if they. Well, the thing is, to a certain degree, he helped bring mixed martial arts to the mainstream. You remember about 7-8 years ago. What was that?
Even if he was the punchline?
Exactly, because of that one fight, that Elite XC fight that they had on CBS, you know, when they tried to get it on broadcast television with our boy Mauro playing second fiddle to my boy Gus Johnson on the announce team. Well, and that fight where if Mauro fought, that'd be funny.
Wait a minute. When did he call MMA? Go on.
He's been calling MMA forever.
Yes. He does that better than wrestling, and that says something. Kimbo fought, I don't remember the guy's name, but they built Kimbo up as this unstoppable force, this immovable, you know, impenetrable force, and the guy got his knocked out in like 13 seconds.
Yes, yeah. But there was also one elite fight where he blew out some guy's cauliflower ear.
Yes.
Made it explode. Okay. He also, this was the guy who used to film his street MMA fights. That's why, you know, he became this internet sensation. And this was this pretty much 7 foot tall, 300, and I'll use the line, and you can't teach that. This was, you know, he was a big boy who used to beat the people up on the street and, you know, put it on the internet.
Yeah.
And
he was that's world why class. He was world star hip hop before world star hip hop was world star hip hop.
There you go.
That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Look it up, Maggle.
Yeah, but I will just say, seriously, way too soon for this guy. And I think the steroids may have had something to do with his heart failure. I can't confirm or deny that, but you can pretty much say that, pretty much.
Right.
No, it did not. Oh, boy. I mean, it just... the sad pieces of news there. But we have to move on, and we're going to move on to a little pay-per-view that was on last night. Right, Nikki?
Yes, indeed. And I'm glad that I managed to get enough time to sit down and watch it in its entirety, because top to bottom, this was an amazing show. I think the only problem I had was with the crowd during the women's match. Who wanted Eva Marie? Kick them out of the building.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, Eva Marie's family was in Orlando that night, and they just wanted her away from the house.
We don't.
Yes, and there was this one. As I said, there was this one. You know, this one little voice saying, "Where's Bailey?" It was this. You know, we were trying to find Izzy in the crowd. No,
well, she was there though.
all joking. She was there. Mm-hmm. It was a very good five match card. It was called The End of the Beginning, and it's a very interesting name of the pay per view. Okay. For many different reasons, okay?
And everybody can have an interpretation of it. Let me explain mine. If you look at NXT's current roster and compare it to when NXT started as Triple H's baby, almost the entire roster from that day one is now formally traveling with WWE. So we are at the end of having all of those people. So this is the end of the first chapter, if you will, of NXT. And we will be going into a whole new chapter, especially if NXT figures into the brand split, something Triple H actually did discuss with Cage Side Seats.
Mm-hmm. And that's not the only thing in regards to the brand split that's of note, but we'll get back to that later. I find it interesting, Nikki, they actually, the name of the show changed it was supposed to be just the end, but only in the last day. Actually, I think the day of, they changed and added the end, dot, 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 of the beginning. So,
That I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, because they had only billed it as the end, throughout, even on Raw this past Monday. But to your point, it was a very solid 5-match card. No stinkers at all, as you would expect. By the way, the sooner, and I think I know why they did it this way, because of the, what they had to deal with facility-wise. But the sooner WWE can bring in the fold-down cage.
Yes!
That
please,
was badass.
Please, please, and please. That was so awesome.
That was effing theater.
And then we got even more theater when Balor came out. Yay.
Yes. And many, many note, the last time he wore black and white makeup is last time in New Japan.
There's a message in there somewhere.
Perhaps. Now, again, let the rumor mill start up. Is this the last time we see Balor in NXT? Not necessarily.
No, that because there is a little spoiler alert from the tapings going on tonight. The next match that Balor is going to face, some guy named Shinsuke Nakamura.
Oh my, take my $9.99, please.
Take my $9.99 now.
Yes.
Okay.
By the way, I have to ask, gotta go for the comical side, we need a laugh here, folks. When did Tom Phillips get in touch with Shinsuke Nakamura's stylist? That red leather jacket, though. Just saying.
I don't know, but I will say this. The crowd was on the borderline between cool and annoying at times.
See the women's match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see the women's match, see singing, Jason Jordan's song, and as sort of like Kurt Angle.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't care who you are, that's beautiful.
Because he is. He's the next coming of Kurt Angle.
He's Black Angle Maggle.
Yes, exactly. But again, watching NXT and watching the way they present it was just phenomenal. Just really, really good.
And kudos have to go out to the crew there at Full Sail. Those who were, learning the ropes, as it were, and along with the established professionals working together. Full marks to the Full Sail crew, because they put on a great show every time.
And they also do. That the whole drones in the beginning, was really nice. And very, very, very cool video package to promote, people like Seth Rollins, like Paige, like Wyatt, like The Shield going from NXT to the WWE. And Neville, too, mm-hmm. by the way. Who needs to shave? Sorry, boy.
He's become a hipster.
Yes.
He does look a bit hippie.
But there's one other thing we should talk about from NXT. The end, dot, 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 of the beginning. And it could be a new beginning as we saw somebody backstage. And if I may pull out my Jeremy Borash card, his name is Bobby Roode.
Roode.
No, it's, but yes. It doesn't say the... Never mind.
The D. Well, there is a reason for that. Is the reason why he has not worked in NXT yet, according to what I've been reading, is that he's got a little work visa issue because, hell, right, rude to Canadian. Okay?
There you go.
So, yeah. So, it could be sooner rather than later where Bobby Roode joins the fray. By the way, now, I have to ask you, Jim, as an old-school wrestling fan,
mm-hmm.
did you recognize who Paul Ellering was?
I've got to be honest. It took me a minute. It wasn't really till Graves said it. By the way, this is one minor fault also of the production staff that I just praised. If your play-by-play guy doesn't know who the heck the big name is, that's a fail. That's a, just feed it into his ear, producers. Just feed him. feed it. But no, it took me a moment too. Yeah,
it took me a moment as well. And the way he was looking down at the ring while his two pet monsters were doing the damage, I got a Gary Hart vibe.
Yes, absolutely.
And I thought, no, I thought that can't be Gary Hart.
Right.
But
and for those who don't know, the big guys who attacked American Alpha after the match were the Authors of Pain, Sonny Zinza, and Zim Zelmani. They've been in NXT for a few months, and now they're making their TV debut. And those are some lusty infants. Those are some big boys.
I don't think they groom that big anymore.
They got kicked out of the playpen a long time ago, Jason. And I don't know why you want to lust over infants, but let's move on.
No,
argue with 6-year-olds who shave.
Would you like to have a seat?
No.
One of the things we were talking about when we're talking about NXT was the potential of them being included in the brand split, and now there's the rumor that might give some credence to that. Nikki, don't tell me SmackDown might do what Raw did a few years back.
Well, there's a standing rumor that once SmackDown goes live, that they want to push it to 3 hours. Now, there was already some there was a lot of hand-wringing shortly after Raw went to 3 hours about trying to fill all that time. And now you want to do it twice? I mean, yes, they've got a pretty deep roster, but they're kind of tempting fate with that.
Yeah. And, on multiple levels. I mean, they have a deep roster that has been injury plagued.
Yes.
The last 18 months or so. So that's foolhardy. And let's also think about, for once, the creative team. Yeah, we crap on them, but they get benefit of the doubt in this respect. It's hard to do 6 hours of television over the course of 48 hours. And if you count a pay-per-view, that could be 9 or 10 or even 11 hours in 3 days. That's insane. Absolutely insane. Work to the bone, to the point that the product suffers. And there's no question the product with Raw, since going to 3 hours, has severely suffered.
Mm-hmm.
Hence, we had a 600,000 loss drop this week from second hour to third.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's nuts.
Well, so it's just, you know, can SmackDown actually do that? Can we first figure out if live 2 hours is going to work with them?
Well, exactly. And the reasons for going live are obvious, and I think we've talked about them. Advertising, mm-hmm. advertising. Mm-hmm. People won't skip through on the DVR.
And people won't read spoilers and make up their minds and might not tune in if they don't like what they read.
Well, exactly. And hey, I think we're all guilty of doing that from time to time. Sometimes more often than not. So it's understandable why it should be a live show. Mm-hmm. I'm for that. But to make it a 3-hour show when, let's face facts, most of SmackDown is, you know, matches you don't see on Raw for good reason, and Raw recap. You want to add more Raw recap? Do you really want to tempt fate?
Well, hopefully with the brand split will address this, and the fact that, you know, we've got... The fact that, you know, yes, we're doing we could do 6 to 9 hours of new content, but if the brand split is as divided as it was early on the first time they did it, that just means that creative is actually going to have to write stories for more people.
But see, I can't think, I can't believe in my heart of hearts they're going to go that far. I can't. Because, again, you've got to, there's no question, Raw is the flagship show, SmackDown's the bastard stepchild B show, and that's always the way it's been, and it's always going to be that way, right or wrong. And you have to promote the big show, and they're going to promote the big show.
And see, I don't mean
the wrestler, I mean Raw, folks.
No. I personally disagree, because I think they have seen that, you know, I think they've had enough people say, you know, if SmackDown is going to, that SmackDown has been the redheaded stepchild, or in this case, the blue-headed stepchild, for, you know, for so long, that going live, they've got to start bringing it up to be on par with Raw. And the way things are, the way things are discussed, or at least, like I said, the as I mentioned, the interview that Triple H did with Cage Side Seats, he doesn't seem to be all that concerned, even if it means that the brand split might take a few more names out of the NXT roster. Mm-hmm. He's saying,
who are you thinking in that respect?
See, I don't know. There's, you know, with the belts back on the Revival, they could call up American Alpha. No, they got to do the, they got to do their monster feud first.
Yeah.
There's, you know, there's a few, the trick right now is just trying to figure out who's going to go where. Hunter is, let's see, what did Hunter have to say? Raw and SmackDown being separate entities might result in NXT losing some road agents and production crew. But that's the same situation as the wrestlers. Others will step up. Well, that's easy with NXT when, if it's going to stay at full sail, because you just have the cycle of, you know, cycle of students coming through. But then Hunter's going to exacerbate that situation because NXT is going to go on the road more. His ideal is they're looking at doing as many, doing 180, 190 shows a year. And that's not all of that's on the road.
But it'll be enough for the people in the Orlando area to crap on it, obviously. But
well, as he puts it, the Florida shows are about exposing new talent to a crowd. Mm-hmm. And then the road shows are about putting those storylines from television in front of larger audiences.
Right.
As we said, because it's very interesting, because the Florida shows, honestly, because it's like there's two levels of NXT. It's like mm-hmm. NXT A and NXT B.
Mm-hmm.
NXT B is where you learn your craft.
Mm-hmm.
And NXT A is the TV part of it.
Right.
Right. So, even the developmental has a developmental system. So
my
maybe
God, it's Inception.
So
Meta H is here.
So I think the evil boss, Dr. Levesque, has got this covered.
But now the question becomes: you're going to have SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be 2-3 hours, whatever. You need somebody to lead it. Hold on now, playa.
And that was a very strange bit of theater on Raw. I was very happy to see Teddy Long again, and I have always enjoyed the Teddy Long character when he was SmackDown General Manager. What the hell did they do to him? He came out and was babbling like a senile idiot. Was Stephanie so worried that he was going to look better than her?
Well, you know, he did look pretty good with that, you know, 15-button suit playa.
And I still think he wears the oversized suits because he's still about this big around. Go look up some of his pictures from his ref days. He's skinnier than Bill Alfonso.
Yes, he is.
But yeah, I really didn't appreciate the way they portrayed him on Raw. He was
I didn't either, actually, because it made him, and honestly speaking, on the same night where, and again, this is maybe a coincidence, but on the same night where you're honoring one of the greatest athletes of all time, pretty much, on the same night as, you know, when Muhammad Ali, you treat Teddy Long like that. It just made, it was a very interesting dichotomy to me.
There's an Avenue Q song that says it all, Jason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone's a little bit racist.
I personally think it was a coincidence, because you could also say that Titus O'Neil is getting a push because of Muhammad Ali.
Well, you could make a... Well, I want to be careful how I say this. The fact that he's actually quoting Ali the last couple of days, both Raw and SmackDown this week, I can understand it Monday, but continuing it to the Tuesday... Nah.
And it was done... When he did it for SmackDown, it was very, very clumsy. He did a very clumsy job of it. I mean, if Ali was alive and he'd heard that, he would have walked on set and punched Titus O'Neil in the face.
Pretty Another much. First round knockout.
Exactly. I mean, look, we understand that, you know, Russo's saying, I'm better than Muhammad Ali. That's what a heel is supposed to do.
Right. Yes.
Okay. And, you know, yeah, it was a little bit clumsy. However, it was very interesting how Ali, because we talked about this, or at least I didn't talk about this, but they talked about it on Raw, how Ali and wrestling tied together. Mm-hmm. You know, it was very interesting.
They showed an interview from the 70s on a, I believe it's Michael Parkinson is his name, the legendary British chat show host.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked about how his love of wrestling goes back to, you know, I saw a guy named Gorgeous George, and I really got to like it, like, I could make a living like this. And he followed, and when you think about it, he really did follow the Gorgeous George template and bring it to boxing. In terms of being braggadocious, look at me, I'm so pretty, but I can also knock you out, and I can back it up, you know. And he followed that template to a T, to the point that also he actually, you know, when he wasn't, you know, sparring in the sport of pugilism, he would get in the ring with old Gorilla Monsoon, let's say.
Right. So he was up for anything. I mean, he also believed that any publicity is good publicity.
Mm-hmm.
And from another part of the Gorgeous George formula, if you say something enough times, people start to believe it.
Yep. So true.
Yeah, but, oh, yes. I got to ask you, Nikki, you pointed this out. Chris Jericho is best Jericho.
This Jericho is an awesome Jericho. The self-important fading rock star is amazing. And then he tops himself by quoting a meme in the middle of his promo. When the guys are bantering back and forth, Jericho claims that he's actually won a Money in the Bank, which, of course, he hasn't. So they said, okay, what city was it in?
Apple.
And so they, you know, yeah, they went round and round and round and round, and somebody decided, you know, said Loser McLoserville or something like that. And Jericho looks at him and deadpans, "I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot."
Wow.
And I lost my mind, absolutely lost my mind. Just, you know, go type Jericho, "I'm from," you know, "Jericho, I'm from Winnipeg," and go find the original. The original video of this. I think it was during his 08 heel run when he was beating up somebody on the outside of the ring, and a fan yells, "Go back to Toronto!" And he just whips around and says, "I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot!" But the promo at the beginning of the show with everybody sitting on top of the ladders, was it goofy? Yeah. It was symbolic. About as symbolic as Ambrose just casually climbing up Jericho's ladder and punching him in the face. You know, "I know what you want to do. I know you'll fight anybody. I know you don't want to fight anybody. You know, I'll fight anybody. I'll fight a polar bear. I'll fight a monster."
Enough talk. When are we going to fight?
Yeah. As Ambrose decides he wants a Chikara invasion because he offered to fight aliens.
it's true.
Excuse me. He's not wrong, you know.
Super Dragon! Oh, that's not an alien. That's just scary. Yeah.
No, it's all right. I mean, but, you know, was it goofy? Yes. Was it symbolic? Very much so. It's wrestling, people. It's not supposed to make sense.
No.
Just enjoy the effing ride.
Just, as Jericho puts it, drink it in.
Drink it in, man.
Sorry, even if he has to wear jeggings, yes.
Yeah. Sorry, I just got to say that, man. You know,
yeah.
You know, that just sort of like that Jim Morrison, you know, 60s rock star. Oh! Now, we've noticed that the club is back together, and AJ Styles is working on that. By the way, our good friend Mr. Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
Yes. On June 20th, which is a week from this coming Wednesday, Monday rather, his next Stone Cold podcast will feature one AJ Styles.
Ooh.
That could be interesting.
CC, very intrigued.
Yes, you have my attention.
Do those three letters get mentioned?
Edge and Christian have already answered that question for you.
Yes, yes. Test and Albert. There you go.
So,
And speaking of AJ and Cena, Nikki, you pointed this out to me. Holy meta, Batman.
Shots fired.
Do tell.
AJ and Cena had an amazing back and forth on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And the part that stood out to me was something that AJ had said. You know, I'm here. You know, I'm doing what anybody would do when they first come to the company. Find the biggest dog in the yard and take him out. So I'm going to take you on, John Cena. And I'm going to beat you because if I lose, I'm going to get buried.
Ooh.
Using the word, what was it? The word was, guys like you bury guys like me.
Something to that effect, yeah. And I'm like, oh, shit.
And Triple H in the back is like, wait, that's my job.
No, Triple H is done burying people. He's like,
he still has the golden shovel. He's the world champ at that.
Granted, but Cena seems to be a little bit better at it.
Well,
I mean, Hunter's
do it for the kids.
Well, Hunter's burials is an old shame from 2003 that people will just not let go.
True.
Cena has been doing it a little more. Has been doing it, you know, current. But the fact that AJ pointed this out in a promo. Just should have had the whole internet go, oh, snap.
Oh, my goodness. Shucky ducky quack quack moment of the week.
Now, Jason, help me out here. What did Cena say something that got some shots fired?
Yes.
Specifically?
Almost.
Okay.
He called AJ a member of the Bullet Club. Not the Bullet Club.
Can you say that on PGTV? John, stop that.
Think of the kids. Think of the children.
You know, but excuse me. He was probably thinking of a different type of chicken, so to speak, because a bullet is a chicken.
Keep fucking that chicken.
Yes, no, exactly. I can actually come up with a PG, you know, pull it as in you're pulling my leg.
Yeah. Excuse me. Your leg if you're lucky.
Hey now.
But yes. Yeah.
Third leg? Yes. Anyway.
Yeah. Excuse me. They're mentioning members of, you know, the Bullet Club and all that stuff. Oh, and by the way, we were talking about Teddy Long earlier. Mm-hmm. What a dick move Stephanie pulled. After Teddy was like, you know, I'm going to make this four-way match for Money in the Bank. And she's like, hey, marketing, I got this idea.
Well, see, that I didn't. I had zero problem with. I absolutely had zero problem with. That's Stephanie.
Yes.
That's good Stephanie. Heel.
That's good. She, after being maybe a tweener, she's back to full-on heel with Shane not around because he was on vacation. So.
Yeah. So she could get away. She could get away with this crap because Shane would have called her out on that.
Yes, sure. Yes, exactly. Yes, because that was a dick move. I mean, a really dick move. But
that's like page two of the dick heel playbook.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we have right now at the moment, we have five matches on the Money in the Bank card.
Mm-hmm.
We have Titus O'Neil versus Rusev for the U.S. title.
Much
right.
A fatal four way for the Money in the Bank, which includes the Vaude Villains.
You're talking the tag team, the tag titles.
Hey, call, yes, hey, tag titles. Don't turn into Teddy Long on us. This is a tag team match, playa.
Yes. Anderson and Gallows of the Club.
Mm-hmm.
Enzo and Maury and Big Cass, how you doing? Versus the New Day. Oh, and by the way, Xavier Woods on IGN Anime Club this week, talking about what anime he loves. He's awesome right now, by the way. Check that out. It's pretty cool. Then you have the six-person Money in the Bank ladder match between Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Jericho, Ambrose, Owens, and Alberto Del Rio. And Owens, again, just is awesome. And, of course, Roman Reigns defending against Seth Rollins for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Now, I got to ask you something. Did you see the double promotion for the history between the two?
I loved the video packages. Granted, you know, yes, it's recycled footage from their WWE 24 documentaries, but it is a very good use of that footage because this is necessary history. This is the continuity we needed. And to show both perspectives, Rollins emphasizing the fact, yes, I showed up with a couple of guys, but my ultimate goal was to be on top. Roman is more, you know, I'm glad I made it. I don't like the way Seth went about it, but I made it too. He hasn't beaten me yet, so bring it.
Short and sweet.
Can't be beat. Now, the video packages pretty much took the place of the fact that neither of them showed up on Raw Monday night. Were you everybody okay with that? The packages doing the talking for them?
Actually, I was because it's, you know, that adds to the big fight feel, and the fact that they're getting the wrong reactions from the crowd. Maybe this will cool things off for a minute.
Maybe a nanosecond.
That's just, it's, you know, I understand that people pay good money to see, you know, to see all the top stars. I was actually, this is one week I was actually okay with it.
One further question, actually, and this doesn't have to do with the main event. Going back to the tag team situation.
Yeah.
They had a rematch on Raw, the Vaude Villains and Enzo and Cass.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Vaude Villains, dare I say, repeated the spot that took Enzo out. You know, the throw to the ropes.
Oh, yeah. No. I remember that. I'm just trying to put my words together here.
If, you know, too soon,
I think this, you know, I think this would have been something that, scary as it sounds, this is something that Enzo might have pitched.
Yeah. I could see.
And he's doing this with, they've got to be doing this with Enzo's blessing because he did that to further elevate Big Cass. And the Club made fun of it on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
And even pantomimed a bad concussion with AJ stumbling around.
Which is, that draws a line a little bit, no? I mean, it's
or does it cross the line? Oh, wait a minute, I can't say
No, excuse me.
I'll show myself out.
No. We had our
little smug. No.
Excuse me. We had our obligatory TNA moment, wishing them good luck on Slammiversary this weekend.
If they get 20,000 buys, I'll eat my own hair. Thank you.
No. But
you don't have it there, so.
Does it? I'll use another line. Does it push the envelope? Yes.
Quite.
But you know what, Jason? I'm glad you said it that way, because that brings up the age-old question, and the age-old, I say age-old, but for the last decade plus since we left the Attitude Era, we don't want the show to be kiddified and PG, but when you push the envelope a little bit, people pull back. It's something your dear Uncle Paul has said on the mic a time or two, Nikki.
Because now when they do it, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
We have your attention. We are eliciting. We are getting an emotion out of you for doing that. The fact that we're even discussing this and wondering if it's okay means that now it actually means something.
Mm-hmm.
And in the wrestling business, you use everything.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing is out of bounds.
As we've seen in the not-too-distant past, i.e. the Charlotte Reed Flair situation.
Between that, Pallbearer's ashes, Lawler's mother,
mm-hmm.
Lawler's heart attack, need I go on?
Yeah.
All of this stuff is, you know, the wrestlers are used to this. Nothing is out of bounds. I mean, yeah, you're going to get, at least they ask. And then not, you're going to go with it because they know it will get a reaction. It will elicit an emotion. And that is the goal
mm-hmm.
of this performance, of this very physical performance art. So, I think, you know, if Enzo didn't pitch it, I'm sure they approached him with it. And he says, yeah, go ahead. You know, the lights might not have even been on before this happened. How you doing?
Yeah, as we call it, a hard sneeze, as he put it.
Yeah.
But, now I read this story. I have to cover this story because it was just a little... Where now, you know, you and I, Nikki, have worked independent shows many a time.
Yes.
Okay. And you know that sometimes independent fans can get a little crazy, to say the least.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Okay.
Yeah, I've told my story.
Yes. Has any wrestling fan actually pulled a gun?
I have never attended a show where we've had a fan jump the guardrail, and I'm kind of blessed for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The one incident with me, with this guy trying to get all over me, there was no guardrail.
Ooh.
Okay.
And apparently apparently wrestling requires a safe word.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, oh, well, my God. I thought you knew him. I yelled rape and you didn't do anything. I thought you knew him. God damn it.
Well, try this on for size, okay? I believe this was out of Rome, Georgia, if I'm not mistaken. I think
I'll pull.
If it came out of the South, it would not surprise me.
Yes, Rome, Georgia. Yeah. So try this. Last Saturday night on June 4th, a woman named Patricia Ann Crow, she's 59, and they give her address, she was arrested on aggravated assault charges as she actually pulled a gun on a pro wrestler during a match in Ringgold. Oh, okay. Seriously. This was at the AWF show in Ringgold. She threatened an attack a longtime wrestler named Paul Lee. Okay, Lee was participating in a match with a wrestler named Iron Man, and he tied him up and was hitting him with a chair. So the wrestler named Paul Lee said this: "I had tied him up and was beating on him, and this lady jumps up with a knife, cuts him loose, and then pulled a loaded gun on me. She had that thing loaded with one in the chamber and the safety off. All it would have taken was for her to get shaky with that thing, and it could have fired. She also pointed the commissioner at a gun at the commissioner, Robbie Roode. And she'd been to shows before, and she was acting like a nut Saturday night. And he was a bad guy. Well, according to Lee, in about 1992, at another location, we were doing a show, and I got stabbed by about a 6-inch blade by a fan. Fans don't usually get involved, though. They just watch." Okay?
Yeah. To that, he's right. It's stuff like this is extremely rare.
Yeah.
Fans, it is very rare for fans to get involved. You know, usually the fan is either crazy or drunk or both.
Right. I'm guessing this probably may have been a little bit of a mental illness sort of thing.
It might have been. But, you know, I remember an HWA show where they had to escort a drunk out of the area, and he kept trying to get back in. I think Les got involved at that point. I think is the worst we had on outside of my close encounter. But I've never had a weapon pulled on me. I've been called every name in the book. I've had backs turned on me. I've had what chance. I've had my gender called into question. But I've never had a weapon pulled on me.
The one thing, again, that comes to mind, where's the security with all this?
At an independent show? The wrestlers are the security.
Well, they are. But it depends on the venue, too, to a certain degree. I mean, a lot of independent shows, well, many at least up here, maybe not down there, although I'm sure it varies, use high schools. And a lot of high schools in this day and age have metal detectors, for goodness sakes.
But a lot of wrestling events also take place at like VFW halls.
True.
And other neutral locations that don't have that level of security. Plus, most independent leagues cannot afford to pay actual security personnel. So the closest thing they might have to security is the wrestlers are going to have to run out from the back.
Right. Gotcha.
And that's,
that could have been a dangerous situation. Really could have been.
Right. I mean, Paul, he's right. If she'd gotten nervous enough, he would have been shot. And that's not the ending we'd want. I mean, she was taken into custody. They let her out. The following Monday on a $4,000 bond.
They let her out.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing.
And apparently the location is a regular location for this league, and they're planning on installing metal detectors. We've already got them picked out. Let's see, according to Lee, we're installing metal detectors at the entrances. We've got them picked up. We'll have them installed before the next show. Things like this are happening in movie theaters, in the malls. You have to take these kind of measures to protect fans and wrestlers. So,
mm-hmm. I'm surprised this hasn't gone done sooner, to be honest. Okay.
Again, stuff like this is extremely rare. Now it's been a while. I mean, in the 60s and the 70s, you could talk to the old school wrestlers. I mean, all of them can give you at least one story where they've gotten in a fight or had a knife drawn on them, or cornered in a parking lot. I've heard some choice horror stories.
I've been in a fight with a fan.
And I mean, I've never had to fight with a fan. However, I did yell at a fan who was messing with the guardrails. And if they had done something else with the guardrails during a match, somebody would have gotten severely injured.
What happened with me was is that a female fan who was like a super fan who mm-hmm. thought, you know, and, you know, brought her daughters there, who, and I believe she was not all there, would try and trip wrestlers as they were going into the ring. And what happened was that I forcibly put her foot back away, and she put it back, and I tried to get her thrown out, and she and the promoter wouldn't do it. So, just saying.
Yeah.
So I've been involved with these people. So it's a little.
There's only so much you can do, really.
Yeah. Something very cool is happening next week because we a little Pixel Nation crossover, mm-hmm. if I may.
Sure.
The official, I would call him staff artist of the WWE.
Yes.
A very talented man named Rob Schamberger, who does something called Canvas to Canvas, and I believe he raises money for charity for the WWE for these particular art projects that he does.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to paint the roster of WWE 2K17 next week at E3 to reveal it. That's cool.
That is nice.
That is very cool.
And as we speak, and we talked about this earlier, WWE NXT TakeOver Brooklyn, which I will be at. The public sale goes on sale, I believe, today or tomorrow. Trust me on this, it will sell out really quickly, if not before even the regular sale goes on.
Oh, yeah. But we already knew that.
Yeah, well.
But you already knew that.
Yeah, exactly.
It is Jason's destiny.
Well,
to avoid being in peril.
Yes, in peril. Yes, exactly.
He's pretty chihuahua.
Yes, he was very good. I'm trying to think. Oh, did you also see? Oh, speaking of like off topic things, anybody see some of the stuff that's going to be coming out for San Diego Comic-Con, including some of the WWE stuff?
I have not.
We've got an instant winner of a figure that is going to be released.
Hold that. Yes, yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, save your pennies and please purchase the WWE official Shockmaster action figure.
Complete with the mask and the wall.
And to continue to add to the self-deprecation of this poor man, he is boxed upside down.
Here's what Tony Schiavone had to say about it. It could be the greatest wrestling figure in the history of our great sport.
I'll tell you what. For all the shit we've given this poor man, buy this figure.
Yeah. I wonder how much it's going to cost.
I don't know.
And how much it'll go up on eBay for that weekend.
Oh, and I've been also noticing there is now a pre-order of, there's a new WWE Zombies line.
Ooh, is that through shop?
No, through Ringside Collectibles, which is a very, very, it's called WWE Zombies 1. Take a look at this, if I may put this in the chat box. Here we go. Take a look at that.
We got zombies, Maggle.
And there's a complete set of 8. John Cena, The Rock, Triple H, Undertaker, Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose, and Roman Reigns.
By the way, if you use the code GRIM at checkout, you can save 10%. No joke.
Oh, and Paige, too, which is not there, but...
No, it's there. It just... I'm not going to make the joke. Not going to make the joke.
Shane will be after you in a New York minute. Or in a Sydney minute, as the case may be.
Not going to make the joke.
But I think those are pretty cool looking, aren't they?
They're interesting.
Yeah.
They're definitely interesting.
Certainly.
Oh, goodness. What else? Was that everything that we had on the...
Pretty much. I think.
More or less.
More or less. Let me see if there's anything. There was anything else in the Triple H interview that I had from Cage Side Seats. It was an interview he did before the before NXT, the end of the beginning. Let's see. He did mention that there are big plans for Nakamura and the debuting Andrade Cien Almas. So, you know, keep an eye on him, although the suspenders have got to go.
Yeah.
See, it talked about the brand split stuff he discussed. The road shows. Somebody did. He was asked about Hideo Itami, who, as you know, has been off TV for over a year now. Hunter said that he just wants to make 100% sure that Itami is 100% healed, because there's been some difficulties in the healing process because of scar tissue and some mobility issues.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say this outright, but he was trying not to compare the injury timeout that Itami's had to John Cena, and called Cena a freaking mutant. But he says that, you know, Itami will be back. There really isn't a timetable right now. Let's see. A couple things were mentioned about the cruiserweight competition. He found it interesting, working with other promotions to get talent for this competition. It's a work in progress. He's still excited about it. You know, he gets access to talent, and independent companies will get exposure. And this means more people to fill out the rosters as the brand split continues to expand.
Mm-hmm. And I believe he still is dealing with Evolve as well, correct?
Yes. Yes, he is. Now, the most interesting thing that came out of this is that we have this big deal with this cruiserweight competition. If it's successful, there is talk. It's only talk at this point that they want to do a women's version of this kind of competition. It's on the table is the term he used. If they do it, they'll announce it, but nothing is official as of yet. It's a cool idea, though. Can we scare up enough, you know, is women's wrestling prolific enough to do a global competition like the cruiserweight tournament they're doing right now? I guess would be the question.
Mm. Hmm.
Not sure.
We'll have to find out.
I mean, I would love to see them try, because there are a lot of talented women out there.
There are, and they're going to need them, because I see Bailey being called up sooner than later.
Yay.
Nia Jax is progressing very well, but you know, she's not quite ready for television. Asuka, I can't wait to see Asuka on the main roster. It's not going to happen right away, but I can't wait. So they're going to need all the help they can get if they're going to do a women's version, and it would just be nice to get more women into the NXT system.
Mm-hmm.
So that's about all I got. So before we go, gentlemen, feel free to debate over who's going to promote what.
I'll defer to you, Jason.
All right, let's start. We Love to Interrupt is off this week because, as we joke around, Chico is away, but we will be back next Wednesday to talk about what's been going on. We are having our season finale weeks of Wheel of Fortune. Let's Make a Deal is, I believe, their last show before their one summer comes out tomorrow. So a lot of old stuff, a lot of new stuff is coming into the fray. I believe next week we will do another Touch 'Em All sometime.
Yeah, sometime next week, where we will have another baseball fight and This Week in Suspensions Bleep Fest.
Yeah, pretty much. And then we will talk about everything as we are a month away from the All-Star break. Can you believe that?
Getting
I mean, how fast the season has gone already.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And we'll also talk a little about the MLB draft that happened tonight and the Phillies with number one pick, by the way. They picked up a hitter, thank goodness, because we freaking need them.
Yes, and of course, Carl. Carl. Let's real life got in the way. We have a couple of catch up shows to do on the BS Big Show, Pixel Nation. We will be talking about E3. I will be covering as many press conferences as I can. Lots of game announcements, including the big announcement this week of the sequel to one of the biggest games of a couple of years ago called Watch Dogs. Mm-hmm. Watch Dogs 2, taking place in San Francisco. Lots of game announcements will be happening over the next few days. Will we hear about the Nintendo NX, which is rumored to be introduced this year? Lots of stuff there. Red State, Blue State, we will be talking about tomorrow night. We will be talking about not just, the fact that Hillary got the nomination and the AP had a very big hand in it, but we're going to be talking about the rape case heard around the world. Mm. Seriously, this guy Brock Turner, good Lord, so much wrong. Actually, the reaction is honestly so much right,
mm-hmm.
in a lot of respects.
Yes.
Because you're seeing men and women from all aspects of the political spectrum telling this judge and this entitled, brotastic asshole, this brotastic asshole rapist where to go. Okay? And believe me, this kid better be shanked. The pressure better be kept up. That's all I'm saying. Okay, that's all I am saying.
Mm.
And all the programs, and of course, Spec Riffs, Paper Review, all the shows here on Spectrum One, of course, can be heard on many different things: iTunes,
Player.fm, Stitcher Radio, Overcast, iTunes, Google Play Music, and of course, SpectrumOne.net. Tune in, yep.
Yep, mm-hmm. And all that stuff. Did I miss anything, Jim?
You got it. That's about okay. The size of it. I've got nothing further to do. Nikki?
Well, actually, the paper review is hopefully going to be getting back on track very soon. We might have to do a little backtracking because AWA Super Clash 3 is up.
Oh, boy.
So, the first thing that happened is that Brian Henniger squeed like a little girl saying, "Yes, I want to be on the show."
Yes, he did.
So we're gonna try to get that one done. I know Chris is still in the process of getting the rest of his control room untangled. I will get a progress report from him next time I speak to him, which won't be tonight because I think he's already, I think he's plenty out cold at this point. Oh. So, ladies and gentlemen, my apologies for being late to my own show, but you've got to understand that the wheels in the wrestling world do not slow down. Not for Dana White. Not for Kimbo Slice. Not even for Muhammad Ali. But we here at the North American Wrestling Connection will continue to report and comment positively as best we can on what this wild, wild world of wrestling does and will do in the weeks to come. So for Jason Block and Jim Williams, for whom I cannot do this show without, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection as sponsored by WrestleChat.net and the Freakin' Awesome Network. So until next time, stay golden, Pony Boy.
That's referring to you, young boy Tom.
The preceding podcast has been a presentation of Spectrum One, online and on demand at SpectrumOne.net.